Hello, beautiful human. Thank you so much for tapping into our conversation with Maggie Lindemann. She has a brand new album out now. It's called Sucker Punch. Highly recommend. We're going to talk to her all about it, plus get an update on life and everything in between. It's been a while since we've spoken to her. I think the last time was maybe middle of pandemic. I don't know. I'll figure it out. But let's get to it, shall we? Subscribe to our podcast, share with those you care about, and enjoy. Here's Maggie Lindemann. Hello, beautiful human. My name is Zach. I'm double-fisting Celsius's because I have a problem. That's Dan, and we welcome to the studio Maggie Lindemann.
Hey!
Did I say your name wrong or right?
No, you said it right.
You know, the first time you came on, I said it wrong.
Did you?
He adds an R every time.
The R. Lindemann. Everyone does that. Yeah. Everyone does that.
I'm severely dyslexic.
Uh-huh.
And I do flip letters. Mm-hmm. I do very much add letters. I let my brain do so much.
It's okay. It's literally happened to me my entire life. Everyone adds an R. Even like people that are tweeting me, like adding my name, they'll be like Maggie Lindemann. I'm like, it's right there. But it's all right.
You could have, if you wanted, like adopt a stage name, but you didn't. That's your real name, right?
That's my real name. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a beautiful name.
Thank you.
Did you ever think maybe I should take on a character?
Okay, so like I think that now more than I did back then. Like, I'm always like, damn, I wish I had a stage name. Because, like, my best friend has a really cool stage name. And I'm like, I wish I had a cool stage name. But I've, like, always used my real name since the beginning. So it's like, I can't switch it now. No, you know? Now it's...
You're committed.
Yeah.
You could maybe do another project one day where you invent something.
I could.
Never say never.
Never say never.
Honestly, like, even hanging out with you right now, like, you have transformed over the years.
Thank you.
You have like evolved and grown into a person that, like, when you look in the mirror, do you know? Do you remember? Like, can you look at like who you are today and be like, I remember the pretty girl phase?
Yes. Like, it's so weird though, because I'll see pictures and like people will like quote tweet something that I tweeted or like bring up old stuff, and I'm like, oh, like I tweeted that corny shit, like I said that, like that's so embarrassing. Or I'll see stuff I wore and I'm like, it's just so crazy because it just, like, I know who that is, but it feels so distant.
How have you changed? What's the biggest difference today?
I think I'm just like older. I just grew up, I don't know, I think like my whole view of life and everything is so different now than it was. And I don't know, just like growing up and just finally accepting like who I want to be and not really caring as much as like what people think, kind of just changed like my whole mindset.
What role does music play in maybe self-discovery? Definitely it's an extension of you, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You can hear the change in the records you put out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, music is like literally my whole life. It's like music, and then it's like my world just revolves around it. So I don't know, music is like in everything I do, like what I wear, like what I listen to, what I like, the interests I have. I don't know, music is just like such a focal point in my life.
I didn't know until recently that the first song you ever wrote, your first single, Knocking on Your Heart, deeply, deeply personal.
Yeah.
Like, really? It's about a friend of yours who died.
Yes.
I mean, is that the first time you ever write an original record?
So I've written other songs, but they were just like terrible. Like, absolutely awful. So, yeah, that was, like, the first one.
Was that the first original song you chose to share with somebody? Like, the public?
Yeah. Well, okay, so actually, Couple of Kids was the first song, but it just came out after.
Got it.
So, Knocking on Your Heart is second, but it was first.
Understood. So, the second one you made, but first you shared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
When you write a song that personal, does it like solidify what music means to you?
I guess so. Yeah.
Do you write from that moment after about highly emotional moments?
I only write about like very emotional moments. I'm not really like an emotional person in real life. Like, I don't like talking really about my feelings, and I don't like to get like super personal and like mushy, and like I'm definitely not that person. Like you ask me like, oh, how are you feeling today? I'm not about to be like, oh my God, like let me tell you. I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm chilling. Like even if I'm not chilling, like I'm not about to like talk about it. So for me, music is like the only way I will talk about things that are affecting me. So music is like everything. It's my place to just like let it all out.
How often do you write songs?
So as of recently, I haven't been writing as much because I've just been focusing so much on the album and like photo shoots and the stuff coming, everything I have coming up. But normally I work like 5 days a week, 4 days a week writing songs. So 4 songs a week, 5 songs a week.
Do you go into studios with lyrics or concepts, or do you go in just like blank slate, ready to do whatever?
It kind of depends. Like sometimes I'm not going through anything and like life is really stale, so I'll just like make something up or think about something that happened like years ago or whatever. But I usually go in with something going on. Like I enjoy going to the studio more when I have something to talk about. So usually there's something actually happening.
What are the better songs? Forcing something, or not forcing something, like coming up with something that's not real, or writing about something that's real?
Real. Definitely. I always like exaggerate it just a little bit because sometimes it's like not that deep, and then I'll like make it seem like it's like it was like the end of the world. But yeah, definitely when it's real, it's like it's easier to write.
So what was going through your head, or what were you going through when you wrote You're Not Special? Because like that's not the song you want written about you.
Yeah. So basically, You're Not Special was just about this person that's like always just like trying to push my buttons, like do things that they know I'm gonna like see, like I don't know, just someone that would like go out of their way to try to piss me off. And it's like, dude, it's annoying. Like I'm seeing what you're doing and it's really annoying, but it's not like you're not that special to me. Like you're not a big person in my life that's going to affect me. You're just being annoying. And yeah, just this annoying person.
A message to a person?
A person, yeah.
Sucker punch. Yeah. What does that mean? I mean, I know what it means literally. Are you talking about an emotional sucker punch?
Yes. An unexpected blow or punch. emotionally, for sure. Yeah, I felt like writing this album was like the whole time I was just getting hit and hit and hit, like not literally, but emotionally for sure. And then I like watched the movie Sucker Punch and I was like, oh my God, this is it. This is the name.
This is what I've been going through.
Yeah, this is, yeah, it was just like a moment. I was like, oh, it's perfect.
So how far into this, like I'm assuming being like sucker punched in life, it's not just like one blow, it's a collection of blows. So how many blows in are you until you realize you gotta fucking write an album about it? I know that sounds terrible.
How many blows in?
I mean, come on. A good blow.
Good blow. It was a couple blows. it's like I think on my like, I don't know, like every song is about something else, like about something different. There's like a couple songs that are about like the same person or like whatever, but like everything's really about like different blows I was going through.
Got it.
So yeah, after like maybe the fourth or something, I was like, this is one for sure. It's like one thing.
This is an album.
Yeah.
It became apparent.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you approach a debut album compared to like the EPs and music you released before? Because like debut is pretty big deal.
Also crazy to think that this is your debut album, because
I know
we've talked to each other a couple times now. It's wild.
Yeah.
But also pandemic.
It's just, it's crazy because like, yeah, whenever I say that, I'm like, it's nuts because I've been making music for so long, but I haven't been like, been making this music for that long. But I don't know, the difference it's like weird. It's really stressful. Like I'm really nervous because I'm like, you obviously want it to do good and you want people to like it, but I don't know. I'm just like excited and I just want it to come out now because I'm already over it. I've like listened to it so many times and like worn it out that I'm just like so ready for it to come out and just like ready for everyone to hear it.
Is the type of music you're, how would you categorize what you're making now?
I hate asking that question because I think putting art in boxes is just fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. But like, is it rock music? Is it alt music? Alternative rock? Yeah, right?
Yeah, I think it's like, there's some songs that are like pop punk, more alternative. There's some that are more pop. There's some that have like, I don't want to say I make metal music because I don't, but there's some that have like metal undertones, like harder guitars and stuff. So I don't know. It's really all over the place. Like, I don't have, I think, just like one sound. I know a lot of people just say I make pop punk music or whatever, but I think it has like a lot of different vibes in it.
Were you able to hear the sound that you've achieved today in anything you release in your Pretty Girl phase?
No.
The story is similar, maybe?
I mean, like, I feel like it's just so, there's just so different. Like, I think, like, I couldn't make Pretty Girl now, and Pretty Girl of me couldn't make what I'm making now. You know, like, I just think they're just so different. Maybe, like, I don't know. I don't think the worlds just go together at all.
But it's all you.
It's me, but it's, like, not me. Because it's, because who I was at that time, like, what I was talking about in Pretty Girl was so me at that time.
Yeah,
like, that's
course.
What I was going through. And it was like, no one was taking me seriously because I'm like this pretty girl on Instagram and like no one really cares. And it was just like that thing of trying to be like, no, I want to make music like I'm an artist. Like that, I started making music on social media like when I first started. I just want people to see me as this. And I still, you know, go through that sometimes. People being like, oh, she makes music. Like, I thought she was just pretty. It's like, yeah, I make music. So I don't know. I can still relate to that. But I think I would just say it so differently now in a song. Like, I wouldn't be like, fuck your ribbons and your pearls, you know what I mean?
So but, what changes? Confidence? Understanding of who you are?
I think understanding of who I am. Like, my confidence is definitely completely different now. Like,
well, it is, I think confidence is attached to understanding and figuring out who mm-hmm. you are, right?
Definitely. I think I'm just, I was 17 when we made Pretty Girl. I'm 24 now. So it's like,
wow.
I think I just grew up and I have such a better understanding of like myself and who I want to be and just who I am in general. Like, I'm so much more confident in myself and like just everything about me. Even like, I would never do something that I didn't want to do now. I'm so focused on who I want to be and like what I want to do. And I think back then I was so like swayed. I was easily swayed if someone was like, oh, you should wear this. Oh, you should say this. You should do this. Like, that's who the pretty girl me was, like, just very like, okay, like, I just want to make music, I'll do whatever. And now I'm like, I want to make music, but I want to do it how I want to do it. So it's like same person, just completely different mindset.
100%. I really understand that. And I also understand that, like, it is easy to be swayed when you're first starting out because one, you don't know, and then two, it's almost safer to like go with what somebody else is suggesting, because if it doesn't work, you know, you can at least look to that.
Blame someone. Yeah. And my thing back then was like, I was just so young and I had no understanding of music at all, other than like, I just like to make it. So when anyone with like music history would be like, no, you should do this, this is going to work, you should like dress like this, you should act like this.
You trust.
Yeah. I just trusted them. And then, it was the whole thing, like, if it didn't work, it was like, oh, well, you told me to do this. And it, like, it fucks with your head because it's like, but it's you. You still made that decision. Like, even though you were swayed to do it, like, you still made that decision. Mm-hmm. And that was something that, like, really fucked with me. So now it's like, I'll listen to your opinion and, like, I'll take it and think about it, but I'm probably not going to listen.
Yeah, because you know who you are.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Thanks.
Do you approach social media differently now, though? Because you kind of mentioned, like, you were just a pretty girl on the internet.
Yeah.
Do you approach that differently so people don't view you as that anymore?
Definitely. I have such a love-hate relationship with Instagram. Like, I love looking at Instagram, but I fucking hate posting. Mm-hmm. Like, I struggle really bad with posting now because I just, like, never even know what to post. Like, I only post, like, when I have something going on and, like, I want to post, like, you know, a flyer, like, a photo shoot picture or something like that. Or like my Swix drop, stuff like mm-hmm. that. Like, that's when I post, but I struggle to actually post just like myself when I'm not doing anything work related. But yeah, and I know a lot of people too, like on Instagram, that are musicians struggle with the same thing, because it's like you don't want anyone to just look at you really for your looks. Like, you want people to focus on the music, so you try to just post more about music. But yeah, it's like rare that I'll take a selfie and be like, I'm posting that.
But isn't it frustrating when you post something about your music and it gets like, I don't know, let's say 10 likes, and you post a selfie and it gets 100 likes? You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's really frustrating. And I think it definitely has to do with people just like want to see your face. But I think it doesn't only mean that. It's just like people do like your face. Like, even artists I follow, like, I love their music, but if they post a picture of their face, I'm like, oh my God, you look so good in this, girl. True. Like, you know, I like it, but it's like, I still want to listen to your music and stuff. So I don't know. I try not to think too into it, but it definitely bothers me.
Well, people also want to be invested in who you are, because they get to see a certain side of you through the records you put out. So
yeah,
there's a level of investment there and wanting to know like what's up and who you are. And I don't know, people are more prone to give their money and support and time and energy to somebody they know and understand.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is like, you have to find balance between, like, you know, being online. You have to sorry, it's like so out of there. You have to find the balance between, like, you know, being invested in like posting yourself and like who you are, and like giving them a piece of your personality and like a piece of who you are, so there is that connection, because obviously like fans crave that kind of connection. But yeah, it's just finding the balance between doing that and like just posting a selfie. You know,
but a selfie goes far.
Selfie does go far.
Selfie does work.
It does. Selfies are hard though. People think I'm just like taking selfies all day. I'm like, I'll take a selfie and I'll be like, like the camera just gets everything. I'm like, I'll take like three and then I'll look at them and it just like ruins my day. I'm like, fuck.
For how many selfies, for every one selfie you post, how many selfies are taken?
It kind of depends, because like some days I'll have like a really, like I'll be having a good face day. So I'll be like, you know, I'll take like maybe like five selfies and then I'll like pick the best one. But some days it'll be like 30 and then I'm like going through them trying to find the best one. I don't know. But I don't take that many selfies. Like, I think people think I'm over here just like taking pictures of myself all day. But I don't like taking pictures of myself.
But you know, the internet is very much a part of your identity. I didn't know this, but you came out over Periscope.
Yes. Yeah. I was like, what? Yeah.
I mean, because Periscope doesn't even fucking exist.
I know.
Anymore.
I was like, what's Periscope?
But Maggie Lindemann's been on the internet for that fucking long.
Old.
No, I'm old. I'd be doing that shit on Chat Roulette. Okay. That's how old I am.
Oh my God. Okay.
No, but I mean, coming out as bisexual via Periscope is very trusting of the internet. Very. Right?
Yeah, I used to be really trusting of the internet. I don't.
Well, just like an extension of yourself, because it was a friend.
It was, and that's the thing, like, because when I came out on Periscope, a lot of people were, like, you know, talking shit and, like, saying whatever, but, like, the internet for me back then was, like, a friend. Like, I didn't have that many friends when I lived in Texas, and the internet was always a place for me to like be myself and escape and just like talk my shit and like, you know, whatever, because I didn't have a lot of people in my real life that I could trust. And at that time it felt like the internet was just this community. Now it's like so different than it was, but like back then the internet was so different and it just felt like such a safe place for me. So I would go on the internet and like feel comfortable to like go on Periscope and be like, oh, I'm bisexual, like I like girls. And I would never do that now. Like, I would never do that now. But for me at that time, it was just,
is that sad though, that like the internet has turned into such a place of like fear and hate and lack of like all judgment?
Definitely. I think it's sad too for like the people growing up now with it, because it is so different than it used to be, and it used to be such a safe place and such a fun place, and now it's just all about like likes and looking your best and like face tuning yourself to look your best. And back then it was such a place where people connected.
That's really, I miss that.
Me too.
I miss it.
Me too.
Do you still do stuff with like clothes? Like, you used to like put fabrics together and make articles of clothing?
Yeah, so I have a brand called Swix. So it sells in Zoomies. And
oh, casual.
Yeah, we sell in Zoomies.
Are you rich from that?
Anyways, no, I'm not rich from that, but you know, I'm not rich from that.
I mean, but like, are you at every Zoomies?
I'm not at every Zoomies.
No, she probably is.
No, I'm not. I'm not at every. There's a lot of Zoomies.
No, there are.
A ton of Zoomies. So I'm not in every Zoomies, but I'm not even gonna say a number because like I'll get yelled at for saying the wrong number. But we are in a lot of Zoomies, and I fucking love Zoomies. Like how Zoomies is like you're like, oh, they're that cool store at the mall is like how they are like going to all their events and stuff. Like I fucking love Zoomies. But shout out Zoomies. But yeah, so I sell in Zoomies, and I've had the brand for, we launched in 2018. So
oh, wow.
A couple years, and I love it. I love it so much.
So how many pieces do you have?
We've made a lot. I don't know, maybe like 100 something now.
And you change them out every season?
Yeah, so we actually do limited edition stuff. So like, online, like on the Swix.com website, once everything's sold out, like you can't buy it again online. Like you can maybe go to a store and find it, but like it's gonna be sold out online. So we do like limited edition drops. There's a couple things I really want to bring back, but yeah,
sick.
Just like limited edition.
I like this.
Yeah.
God.
I love it.
Are you creating pieces that you wish existed for you, or like what's your focus with it?
Yeah, definitely. I think like when I used to go to Zoomies when I was younger, I would always go to the men's section because I just thought that's where everything was that was cool, like Odd Future and Obey and like Diamond and all that stuff. Like I that's the stuff I like to wear, because I felt like the girls section always was not as cool.
Yeah.
Cause it's like, I don't want to go to the girls section and like look for girly stuff. Like I want to wear stuff that's like cool and like, you know? So with Swix, it's like making clothes that are for girls, catered to girls, but are cool and are also unisex. Like a guy could wear it if he wanted to. But yeah, it's cute. It's like little baby tees with like little skulls on them with like a little bow or like, like these sweaters with like little patchwork on it. I don't know. It's just cool. It's just stuff that's like I would have loved to had seen in the women's section.
Love that.
Yeah.
We need to get into this garment business, Daniel.
I know. I'm looking at this website. It looks like everything is straight out of your closet. I haven't looked in your closet, but I would assume if I did.
Yeah. I mean, my closet is literally all. So, like they'll send me boxes to check everything out and like give to my friends or whatever. And it's like, it'll be like 30 of like one shirt, so I just have so much Swix.
I mean, dude, we need to get into this business.
That's fun. What's going on with your album cover? Were you getting like roasted for it? Do people not like it?
Yes. What's the problem? People were like, why is she sitting on the toilet? Like she's literally taking a shit in her album cover. Like, what is she doing? Yes, I was getting roasted, and people were like, it's so grimy and dirty, and I'm like, that's the point. Like it's supposed to look grimy and dirty.
It does look very grimy and dirty, yeah. You're in a bathroom sitting on a toilet with smoke everywhere.
That's actually, it's funny too, because people were like shit-talking the bathroom. That was my old bathroom. Like, I put all those.
It's in your house?
Yeah.
You lived there?
I lived in that bathroom.
Oof.
I did. But that was, that was my bathroom. But the actual, it's funny because the actual picture before, like, it got green and all that, like, it's not like a grimy vibe. It just looks that way because it's like all the smoke and like, whatever. But there is an alternative cover. I'm like, anyways, it's a good cover. But the alternative cover is cool. It's like the sticks. And so if you don't like the cover, there's an alternative cover.
Oh, with like the tree branches that spell sucker punch and
yeah.
Pick. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Dan approves of that one, apparently.
No, I think they're both cool. I just saw that you were getting roasted for the album cover.
I was.
I think it's because people look at you like this pretty girl, and it's like not the most flattering photo. Was that wrong? Like,
no, it's okay, because my whole thing is like, okay, yeah, people were saying that. People were like, wow, this is like, you could have been a little bit more feminine with it, like close your legs or whatever. But it's like, the people were saying that. I was like, okay. But the thing is, like, I don't want to be like hyper feminine. Like, yes. I don't care to be super feminine. Like, I am feminine, but like, I don't care to be. Like, it's not for me, music and like photo shoots and stuff, it's not about being pretty, it's about being fucking cool. Like, mm-hmm. I want to look cool. I don't like my selfies, that's where I'll be like, oh, I look pretty. In my photo shoots, like, I just want to look cool, And to me, that picture was cool. Like, I felt cool in that. Like, it's cool to me. But yeah, yeah. Some people didn't like it. That's okay.
Were you actually going to the bathroom at the
time? I wasn't. I had clothes on.
Mid-shit.
Mid-shit. Take a pic. No, I had
people
clothes
do that.
On. People, do, I, and the thing
people
is,
people take photos while taking shits.
I know, it's a thing.
That's fucking funny.
Any love songs on this album?
So there's one song called We Never Even Dated, and it's about a guy I never even dated. And it's kind of like a sad love song for him, which is funny now because like that guy, the guy I'm like was whatever over the album is someone now that I like literally don't give a fuck about. And he's going to listen to the album and like hear the song and be like, oh, this is about me. And I'm like, bro, please don't fucking text me. Like, I don't care anymore.
Oof.
Is it the guy that we talked about last time you were on our show?
I don't think so. It's not an ex. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, no. It's not an ex.
Okay.
It's someone I never even dated. Like, we didn't
date.
Oh,
wait, you tweeted on June 28th, only I could write 2 albums worth of songs about a boy I never even dated.
Wait, I'm confused. So what is this person to you? Like, do you know them or?
Yeah, I know them. It's just this guy that, like, I literally never dated. And I just, like, always was like, oh, you know, like, what it could have been or whatever.
So do you write multiple songs about this person?
Because you said you had two albums.
Two albums worth of songs.
And only one made it.
No. There's like 4 songs on the album by him.
Do you want him to know?
No, I don't even want him to know because it's like if he's like, oh, is that about me? I'm like, no.
Okay.
You got a lot of music out of it.
I did. But that's the thing about me too. It's like I'll build something up to make it seem like so crazy in my head so that I'll have stuff to write about.
Love it.
And I needed him for that, but now he's useless to me, so.
Got it. On to the next. Let's
on to the next.
Suck another soul and pump out an album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sick.
Basically.
God, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrible.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
How was it working with Kellen Quinn?
Oh, my God. So crazy. So I actually haven't even met him in person, but I'm, like, thinking, I'm like, I hope not. I hope I am not wrong about that.
Yeah, I hope I didn't. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck, I hope. No, definitely not. I fucking love Kellen. But so crazy. He's like the one person I've always looked up to and like wanted to work with. And like Sleeping With Sirens is literally my favorite band ever. So to be able to work with him and like have his voice on a song with me is like, it's just insane.
Now, how could you do this to me? That's a song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you write that and take it to him or how do you? I guess you don't write together because you
yeah, yeah.
Have
I
never
wrote
met
it
him.
And then I was like,
here you go.
Do you want to be on this? Yeah.
Yeah. And you got some screams on there.
Screams. Oh, yes. I was like, please scream. Please scream. Yeah. Yeah.
You request that or do you just like let him do his thing?
No, I just let him do his thing. But like if he hadn't screamed on it, I would have been like, can you scream?
Give me a scream.
Give me a scream. Yeah.
Hits.
Yeah.
How are you building these songs these days? Like, are you able to produce anything? Are you playing instruments? Or, like, do you take it to your band and kind of explain how you want it to sound?
Yeah, so I haven't been... So I really want to, like, learn how to produce. Producing is really fucking hard.
Yeah,
So, like, I work with, like, a couple people who do, like, live drums. Or, like, my producer will do, like... guitar, like live guitar. I like live instruments. Mm-hmm. There are a couple things on the album that aren't live because I wanted to like experiment with other things, but yeah, it's like mostly live instruments. Mm-hmm.
Poetry
matters
to you.
Mm-hmm.
You're a big fan of a poet by the name of Shane
Coyscan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You have his poems tattooed on you?
So I have one on the back of my shoulder. It says turning freedom of speech into freedom of cruelty. Yeah, so I was actually supposed to go see him live, do like a live poetry reading. Like my mom got it for me for Christmas, and she completely fucked up and gave me like the wrong day and everything, so I missed it. It's okay, mom.
Wait.
But she was so upset about it. She's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's okay, girl. But it's like this whole thing too.
You cried.
I cried when she gave it to me.
Yeah.
She felt so bad. Like, she felt so bad. Completely missed it. She got me, like, meet and greet tickets and everything. Like, completely missed it. There's, like, a hair in my mouth. Sorry. Okay. Completely missed it. It's okay. But, yeah, he's, like, insane. And he does this poetry that's, like, mental health. related. And I don't know. He's just, he's amazing. I love him.
Do any of your songs take shape as poems first, or do you write poetry yourself?
Yeah, I write a lot of poetry. Sometimes, like, I usually won't take like an actual like sentence because a lot of the times it won't like fit into the melody I'm doing or whatever, but I'll like switch it up and put it in. But I stopped writing poetry for a while and I just restarted. So I'm trying to get back into like doing it that way. But yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Just a way to kind of, just like a way to download your day or get whatever out.
Yeah, it's basically just like journaling, but yeah. I do it in like poems. I do it in like rhyming words. Yeah.
Sucker Punch is the album.
Yeah.
If you want to listen to Maggie Lindemann, we're going to put a link in the description below. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Out of genuine curiosity,
mm-hmm.
We can edit it out if you want.
Okay.
Is it painful to get a boob job?
Is it painful? No. It wasn't painful. It was just uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. What, because...
Like, explain. Like, have you gotten your wisdom teeth out?
I have gotten my wisdom teeth out.
Okay, so which is more painful? Boob job or wisdom teeth?
Okay, it's crazy because, like, I think I might have, like, a really good pain tolerance because getting my wisdom teeth out did not hurt. Like, my face was really swollen, but I didn't take any of the pain medicine. Mm. Also, with my boob job, I didn't take any of the pain medicine.
What?
Really? Yeah, I didn't take any pain medicine at all. The only medicine I took was, like, my nausea medicine because I was so fucking nauseous the first day.
From what, you think?
Because they like pump you with the stuff that makes you sleep.
Oh yeah, anesthesia.
Yeah, so I was like nauseous, and they say like after you get it, they put you in a room and like let you sleep for like an hour. I was in that room for like 3 hours because I wouldn't wake up. Like they couldn't wake me up. I kept like waking up and then being like, ah. And then when I did finally wake up, I was like nauseous. I was like blue.
Whoa. Like,
nauseous as fuck. But no, it didn't hurt. It was just like uncomfortable. And my ex had to take care of me. Like, I couldn't even, like, lift myself up or lay myself down.
What, for how long?
Like, 4 days.
Well, so when were you, like, normal and ready to put on a shirt again?
Like, after a week. Like, 6 days.
Whoa.
Yeah.
And when do you start showing them to people?
Oh, I was showing them, like...
same day?
I was showing them, like, same day. Yeah, I was, like...
Fresh out of surgery?
Yeah, I was, like, excited. I was, like...
Still nauseous and blue. Yeah, I'm,
like...
Tits.
No, literally, when I... And, like, my first thing when I came out of it, I was, like... I was, like, oh, my God. But, no, I was showing people, like, really early. I think I posted my first Instagram picture with them. Like, I think that was only, like, a week after getting them. They were, like, high as fuck up. Everyone was, like, fake boobs. I'm, like, yes, fake boobs. The fuck?
Does everybody go to the same doctor?
No. I don't know anyone that's been to my doctor, but my doctor fucking slaps. I've been recommending him to everyone.
Sick.
Yeah. He was the best, like... Not to toot my own horn, but like, I think they look pretty good. So I've been like telling all my friends, I'm like, go to mine. Yeah.
You said boobs are the greatest purchase I've ever made.
They are.
Still today, you believe that?
Yes, it changed my life. Like, I'm not even kidding. I feel like I felt like a little girl before. I feel like I'm a woman now. Like, I don't have like a little boy pecs.
Are they expensive?
Like 9,000.
Oh.
Not as much as you would think. Oh. Yeah. Growing up, I thought like, oh, like 30,000 or something. No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Fuck.
Yeah. You interested in getting some?
You know, honestly, the opposite. Like, I could really use somebody to stick a hose in my man titty and suck some fat out.
Come out.
Honestly. You know, okay. Shape up some fake pecs for me. If anybody has that technology at their disposal, get in touch. I want veneers all the time.
Fuck, really?
Yeah, even though my teeth aren't like, they're not like, they're not the worst.
Yeah.
But like, I'm also like, fuck it. Like, I'm fucking fake teeth. But they're expensive.
No, veneers are expensive.
Yeah, more than boobs. Like, by a
lot. I know someone that just got veneers and he spent like $65,000.
That's insane.
Yeah. That's... And his teeth were perfect. Yeah. I was like, why'd you get that? He had like little tiny gaps.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, I have little gaps.
He rich, though.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He rich.
You got fucking diamonds in there still?
God, I've been there for like 3 years. I can't.
Do you have veneers?
I don't have veneers.
You have good teeth.
Thank you. I had braces for 6 years.
Yeah, fuck. Yeah. So did I. Didn't do shit.
You didn't wear your retainer?
No. Yeah. Fuck no.
That's where you went wrong. I still wear my retainer.
Also, like.
So do I. Every night.
There you go.
So bury me with my retainer in.
Yep.
For real.
He means it too.
No.
I don't need anything else. That's all I need.
Yeah.
That's like all. It's his prized possession. Like, really, what do you owe that means more to you than your retainer?
No, it's really, it's chapstick and retainers. That's like all I need in my life.
I get that. Mine's like lip liner.
I'm about the probably same person.
Yeah.
Wow.
Does do the boobs, did that give you the confidence? I mean, I don't know how to make a transition, whatever. Did it give you the confidence to do the Savage X Fenty thing?
Okay, so no, because I did it before too.
Okay.
But the thing with me was like, I was never like not confident in my own like body. Like it was never like, oh, I'm embarrassed of my boobs. Like, don't look at my boobs. Like, it was never like that for me. It was just like, I've always liked boobs. Like, I, even when I was younger, like I actually genuinely liked the way fake boobs look. Like, you could have two balls on your chest, and I'm like, oh my God, I love your boobs. I like the way they look. So, I don't know. I just, like, always wanted them, and I've always wanted big boobs. Like, my mom has boobs. Like, everyone in my family has boobs, and then I'm just like, no boobs.
But you were granted so many other things.
I was, but, you're like, reaching, not boobs.
You're rich in so many other ways.
Thank you. Now I'm rich in boobs.
You do have to change him out, though, every couple of years, right? What's the rule on that?
You do if they start, like, my doctor said that I could actually have him in, like, for the rest of my life if they never gave me problems. Wow. But you are supposed to technically change him out, like, every, like, decade or something.
I made my way onto a place on TikTok mm-hmm. where they remove the fake boobs.
Oh.
And mm-hmm. then they, like, take, it's, like, really gnarly.
Yeah.
But a lot of people request the silicone boobs, like, so they can keep them forever.
Mm. Yeah.
And display them and stuff.
Wait, like, keep, like...
the silicone.
Like, once they take them out?
Yeah.
Like, they want to keep the silicone?
Yeah.
All right.
That's really weird.
Yeah. It is interesting.
That's weird. No, I've seen the videos of them taking them out.
Oh my God, it's gnarly.
And they're like
wrapped in a hard shell.
Yeah, it's so gross. And like cut them open.
Yes.
It's so gross.
We clearly,
yeah.
We share some For You page yep. things in common.
Yeah.
Sick. Sucker Punch is the album. You got to listen to it. It's on its way. September when?
September 16th.
Put it in your calendar right now. Whip it out. Put it in. September 16th.
Whip it out.
Whip it out. Put it in.
What are you thinking?
Do you address the breakup on this album?
No.
Really? 3 years? Nothing?
No. Well,
he's dead to her.
No, he's not. He's great. Me and him actually ended on really good terms.
I feel like I've seen you guys out before, like recently.
Oh, no.
No? Not in like the last like couple months?
So we broke up in April. So probably...
Well, maybe you just ended up at the same party by chance.
Maybe. I don't think we end up...
Were you thinking about the same person?
Yeah, Brandon.
Brandon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, actually, we did see you at a party at like the beginning of the year.
Was it?
I do remember that.
January?
It was like...
No, it was January 2017.
Like, exactly. Like, it was last week.
No, it was definitely in like January. It's like a long time ago. It's like New Year's.
Jesus Christ.
The year is flying by.
Because we live in hell. It's like fucking monkeypox season. It's the worst. Oh my God.
It is the worst.
Sucker Punch me to the gut, please.
So we're not addressing that on the album.
No, so I actually don't talk about it on the album because I finished the album while we were still dating. Yeah, but I don't think I'm going to probably address it in any... I mean, maybe...
If you need something to write about.
Yeah, but, like, honestly, we ended on really good terms. Like, I truly have, like, nothing bad to say about him at all. No. Like, there was nothing that even, like... There was no thing that happened that I was like, oh, my God, we have to break up. It was literally just, like, we dated for 3 years. Like, I'm in a completely different place than I was when I was 20.
You grow, so. You change.
Yeah.
You morph into the person you were meant to be.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Maggie mm-hmm. Lindemann, I really appreciate you giving us time and energy today.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Dan has a question.
I do. I saved this one for the end in case you're making me cut it out. But what were you doing?
Sucker Punch. Listen to the album. Maggie Lindemann, everybody. Hey, beautiful human. You made it to our conversation with Maggie Lindemann. Thank you so much for giving us your time and energy. I really do appreciate it. Please subscribe to our podcast, share it with those you care about, and have an amazing day. Be safe. Hug your family. If you can, and don't go to jail. Let us know who you should talk to next at Zach Sang Show on any form of social media. I'll talk to you real soon. Peace and love.
T. Today's show was hosted and executive produced by Zach Sang.
It was also executive produced by Michael D. Ratner, Scott Ratner, Dylan Martyr, Dan Zolot, Joshua Rusak, and Olivia Rudensky.
Music by James Asciutto.
Senior producer, Caitlin Plummer.
Associate producer, Eve Bishop.
Production sound mixing on today's show was done by Alex Goins, Nico Pierce, and Joseph Hartshorn.
Sound mixing was done by Daniel Chavez-Crook and Ivan Wayman.
Post-production manager was Caroline Rude.
Production manager was Michelle Dorostock.
And our production coordinator was Bryce Herless. And that was an episode of The Zach Sang Show. Talk to you soon.